This is Derek Favors, number 15 from the Utah Jazz. You're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini.
3-point game, Harris. Pick and roll, Favors takes a strong and one. Oh my, watch Derek Favors take a leap right here.
We're back on Drive Time Sports, KOL, 107.3 FM, 750 AM. Time for our weekly NBA segment with Jameson Welsh. I believe the hype, NBA.com. There's plenty to talk about in the NBA, including the Utah Jazz, who have now won four consecutive games following their win last night, topping the Houston Rockets, who have actually played pretty good basketball so far this season. We'll talk about that and more with Jameson right now. As always, Jameson, I appreciate the time today. Thank you.
Not a problem, man. Thanks for having me, as always. Definitely appreciate it.
We'll start by talking about the Jazz. They've won four consecutive games. I went into this without going into great detail on the show yesterday. The Utah Jazz with George Hill are a completely different team. It's just that simple. This team was a game under 500 just a week and a half ago. George Hill comes back. Utah starts playing better basketball. I mean, as crazy as it sounds, throughout the first like 15 games, 16, 17 games of the season, he's been one of the most important players to any team in the league.
Well, remember, the Jazz over the last couple of years have had point guard issues. That's why they, you know, traded for Trey Burke. They drafted Dante Exum. They've been searching for that fix. They've been searching in different ways. You know, they've made trades for lower-tier guys to try to fill the, you know, Shelvin Mack. They, you know, they've tried so many different things, and they finally got a guy that can just run offense. You know, George Hill, he's the average point guard in this league, maybe slightly above average, depending on who you talk to. But he's a guy that he can he's a pro's pro. He's going to run your offense, going to get you in your sets. He's going to be able to score the ball a little bit. He's going to be able to do some things. So he helps them a whole lot. He brings that position from a below average mark to at least an average at worst, and you have an improved ball club. With him in the lineup, the Jazz are a playoff team. When he's not in the lineup, they struggle. It's the same story they've had for the last few years. The point guard spot in this NBA is very important. You need a guy that can hold their own, because if you can't have a guy that can't hold their own in this league, you're in trouble, because the guys you go up against every night is that damn good. So you have to be very, very careful with who you have playing that position. But George Hill's been a very big improvement for the Jazz, and you know, the record speaks for itself when he's in the lineup versus when he's out of it.
Yeah, definitely. The Jazz have not lost a game this year when both Gordon Hayward and George Hill are playing. Hill's averaging 21 points per game, shooting 54% from the field. He's averaged 19 points per contest during the four-game winning streak. Gordon Hayward had a rough go of it during the Jazz four-game losing skid. But it just seems like this is a cohesive unit when these two are out there. 11-8, the combo of Hill and Hayward, the Jazz are 5-0. That's definitely something to watch. Now, Jameson, you and I have talked a lot about the Western Conference over the last little while here on the show. And the Clippers were a team at the beginning of the season. They were playing fantastic basketball. Everybody was on the Clipper bandwagon. For some reason, I've never been able to buy into this makeup of the Clippers. I know this is it for them. They either get it done this season, or you're probably going to see some mass changes within this organization. They've now lost three consecutive games on the road. They're 14-5. It's not a bad start. I get it. They're probably the third or fourth best team of the Western Conference. But there were actually pundits that thought that the Clippers could really challenge Golden State, that they would be the team that would be the number two seed, not San Antonio. And already, 19 games into the season, I'm seeing flaws within this squad, and they've struggled on the road now three consecutive games.
It's not that they struggled on the road. They've lost against teams they have no business losing.
Exactly, exactly.
To the Pacers without Paul George. Lost to Detroit, which is, you know, Detroit's had some pieces that can give them problems. I see that. But the Pacers without Paul George, there's no excuse. And last night versus the Nets, that, and even without Blake Griffin, you can't lose that game. Here's the problem with the Clippers. When things are going well, they go very well. All things are clicking. All things are on point and whatnot. When their defense flips, like, you can't give up 126 to the Nets. Like, that just cannot happen. You can't do that. When that happens, when their defense is not as strong as it has been in the past, or especially over that streak that they had, then things get very tricky for them. The biggest problem for them, and it's going to be for a while, their defense in the backcourt isn't as good as people think it is. Chris Paul is still a very good player, but his defense isn't as strong as it has been in the past. And we know J.J. Redick is not a defensive stopper. So they really don't have anyone, especially off their bench. They don't have a guy that can guard guards. Like, they don't have a guy. Austin Rivers isn't going to tee anybody up. Same thing with Jamal Crawford. So if you have a backcourt that can score, they're in trouble. So, like, for instance, Golden State, we know what they do. We know they got two guys that can go for 40 any night or 40 plus any night. So basically, you're saying that this backcourt supposed to stop the Warriors? I just don't see it. I mean, they let Sean Kilpatrick go for almost 40 last night.
38,
and
yeah.
Kilpatrick's almost like D-League guy. So they have some issues on defense they got to clear up. But honestly, I don't know if they can because the roster, it kind of is what it is right now. It's going to be that way for the end of the year. I think they're just reverting to the mean. I think the Clippers are still the third best team in the West. So at worst, you know, that's still a really good thing. But they got to get it figured out because you don't want to slip any further, and you want to have home court in that second round if possible. You don't want to be going on the road in a Game 7 situation in San Antonio, no matter what their team is looking like. So we'll see what happens. It's still a long season. They still have had an impressive start thus far, but you don't want to lose too many games. You got a big one coming up tomorrow versus Cleveland. Cleveland's coming off a loss, so that's going to be very interesting to see what kind of Clippers team we get and also what kind of Cavs team we get. So we should definitely see.
I can't recall the last time the 3 seed in the Western Conference to me was a death sentence. And that's what it is, because even if you get past the first round, which if you're a 3 seed, you're expected to knock off the 6, I get that. But if you are the 3 seed of the West, you have to beat San Antonio and Golden State back-to-back without home court advantage. That's a death sentence. I don't care how good you are.
It's not going to happen. I mean, outside of injuries, this is not going to happen.
No.
It's a very tall task that you're asking teams to do, and it's just very difficult, especially the key thing you mentioned is without home court advantage. Like, I always say this, you can win one game on the road. But it's almost impossible to win 2 road games. It's very difficult to win 2 road games in a 7-game series. If you win 2 road games in a 7-game series, you usually end up winning that series.
Yeah.
But it's very difficult to win 2 games in San Antonio, and it's damn near impossible to win 2 games in Oakland. So we'll definitely see. But, yeah, whoever – you got to stay out of that third spot. I agree. You got to stay in that second spot for a lot of reasons. And that's going to be an interesting position – jockeying a position throughout the year between the Spurs and the Clippers, because we all know the Warriors are probably going to win, probably going to have the best record in the West. They're probably going to be the team that has the number one seed. But that second and third spot is going to be very interesting as the season goes on.
Again, our guest right now is Jamison Welsh from BelieveTheHypeNBA.com. Jamison, I want to talk about a player that doesn't get a whole lot of recognition, plays for the Milwaukee Bucks. You know exactly who I'm talking about. Giannis Antetokounmpo. Say that 10 times fast. He had 34 points, 12 boards, 5 assists, and 5 steals last night. Joins LeBron James as the only player in the past 30 seasons to have a 30, 10, 5, and 5 game before their 22nd birthday. This kid just gets better and better and better. Jason Kidd was on record earlier in the week saying he's not a household name because his name is too difficult to pronounce.
Well, I wouldn't say that. The biggest problem is, one, they're not very good. So you're not in the playoffs. You're not in any race or anything like that. So that's one thing. And two, they play in Milwaukee. So not a whole lot of people without league pass know about him. You know, that's just kind of
right.
How it goes. I mean, that's
right.
What the situation kind of is at this point. So, hey, it sucks. It's not the best thing. Us basketball people, we know about him. We've been knowing about him because he's that damn good. But the casual fan has really no clue who he is unless he's on SportsCenter, because you're not going to watch a whole lot of Milwaukee Buck games. It's just not going to happen. If you're out here on the West Coast and you don't get off work till 5:30, most of the Buck games are either just starting or have already been going on for an hour. So it's a really tough situation. But he is worth the price of admission. He's a very good player. He should be an all-star this year. He's a future franchise, face of a franchise kind of guy. He's that guy. He's already the face of the Bucks already. But we'll see how long he's actually in Milwaukee. But for the time being, he's a very, very good young player his potential is limitless. His potential, there's nothing that would surprise me. If you say he's a top 5 player next year, it wouldn't surprise me. If you say he's a top 3 player in 3 years, it would not surprise me. He's just that good.
Yeah, he's averaging 23-6-8 right now so far this season, just playing phenomenal basketball. And I think you did peg it right on the head with him playing in Milwaukee. It's a little bit difficult for him to develop some of the attention that he would get with some of the other squads. Outside of Antetokounmpo, you and I were talking about the rookies before we went on the air. And Antetokounmpo's in his third year, but he's 6'11", and he can handle the basketball. He'll bring the basketball up court for you, for crying out loud. There's one other guy in L.A. that kind of fits that mold, and that's Brandon Ingram. You and I were talking about the rookies and some that have caught our eye. I mean, outside of Marquese Chris, I think it's safe to say that Brandon Ingram has been the most impressive rookie so far this season. Now, Joel Embiid technically is a rookie according to NBA rules, but based on this last draft class, outside of Brandon Ingram, has there been a better rookie?
Not that I can think of at all. I mean, of course, Ben Simmons is hurt, so it's kind of a tough thing. Jalen Brown's been up and down with the Celtics. You know, he's had some moments, but nothing too serious. For the most part, yeah, it has been Brandon Ingram. The Lakers haven't really asked Brandon Ingram to do a whole lot. You know, his role is definitely different than D'Angelo's, Russell's rookie year and what they're asking for him to do at the start of it. You know, so it's a little bit different. You know, they're not starting Brandon Ingram in most nights. You know, they bring him off the bench, kind of ease him into it. Eventually, he will be a starter. But from what he's done, I like what I've seen thus far from a basketball player. Whenever you have a guy at 6'9" that's comfortable in handling the basketball, bringing it up against pressure and being able to do so and get the team in its offense, that's always a good thing. Whenever you have another ball handler on the court that can handle the ball anywhere on the court and be comfortable with his handle, that's always a good thing. And we know what he can do offensively. The only knock I have on him is I want to see him be a little bit more aggressive and looking for his shot. I know he's trying to stay within the team, offense and whatnot, but I want to see him try to get his. I think he has the talent, he has the skill set to do so. It's just a mindset thing because once that switch happens, I think he'd be a very, very good player in this league. When he decides, hey, I'm just going to go ahead and get mine real quick, I think he'd be a very, very special ball player in this league.
Again, Jameson Welsh from LeaveTheHypeNBA.com joining us. Jameson, you cover the NBA all over the country. Where was the last arena you went to?
I was in Portland a couple weeks ago for Blazers Suns on election night. It was a pretty good game. Of course, on the West Coast, we don't play a whole lot of defense. You know, even the Jazz are probably one of the best defensive teams in the West. But, you know, other than that, you have a lot of teams giving up 110 a night. You know, if you're watching the Lakers, Clippers, we know what the Warriors do, Nuggets, the Blazers, Kings, Suns, all those teams score a bunch of points, and they give up a bunch of points. So it's entertaining basketball, to say. Like, and of course, the Rockets, we know what they do as well. But, you know, it's entertaining basketball. It's definitely entertaining to see a bunch of, you know, up and down action. But at the same time, it's a lot of points and a lot of defensive lapses. And, you know, people really aren't playing defense when games are 117, 115. Not a whole lot of defense being played.
Jameson, it's always a pleasure to get you on the show, talk NBA basketball. I really appreciate the time. I know we'll do it again next week. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Oh, not a problem, man. Thanks for having me. As always, stay warm out there. I know the temperatures are kind of brisk out there, so try to stay as warm as possible.
Yeah, it's cold. It's cold to say the least, that's for sure. But Jameson Welsh, you get to believe the hype, NBA.com. Give him a follow on Twitter, @TheJameson. We'll be back with more Drive Time Sports right after this.